Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Zoom on, but Allegron's grinding home from Fear Redless. The Cunning Fox below the 200, grabbed by Allegron. Threads his way through Ollie, and Allegron takes the lead in the khaki colours, and Allegron's going to come clear, the favourite by the ledger. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserve at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the line. Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood on Thunderstruck, but it's Animo clear. High Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. What a from High Thunderstruck. El Monagon Wicks down the middle. Kings Will Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Arch is too good. They can't beat her.
G'day listeners, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast, where we will be previewing Makybe Diva Stakes Day. What a mare she was. 3 times Melbourne Cup winner. She'll be out there at Flemington. So if you happen to go, make sure you get a photo with her, because her days are probably limited. I think she's 25 years old, 26 years old. She's one of the older living legend mares still going around. We've also got the Run to the Rose, 1,200 metres at Rosehill. It is obviously the lead up to the Golden Rose. My name's Ben Caluzzi, and I'm joined by Will Alford. Will, how are you doing, mate?
Good. I've had a week freshen up, so hopefully I'm back and ready to back some winners.
How was Sydney?
Yeah, it was good. Saw my mate's newborn baby, so that was nice. And it's good to get away with the missus, so that was nice.
Beautiful. So you're sort of two birds, one stone. Got to see the boys and hang out with the missus.
Yeah, it was nice to have a week off racing. It was quiet enough. I don't reckon I would have backed as too many winners last week. So I had a quick look, but it didn't really interest me anyway. So it was good that last week was the week I took off.
Yeah, nice. So we've got Bot back in the second chair tonight, and we've kicked Nico out. He's in a chuka, and he couldn't make tonight. So he's got things he needs to do, people he needs to see, and it's just you and me tonight. So first thing I wanted to quickly touch on, did you manage to catch a little glimpse of the world's best sprinter last Sunday?
I did. Jeet was good. He's so good.
Yeah.
I can't wait for Everest Day and see how he lines up. You know, like we can measure these things and how good he is, but like just off the plane, and I just want to see him absolutely destroy them, to be honest.
So do I. I want to be cheering at the 200.
You want to stop cheering at the 200?
Yeah. Something tells me in the back of my mind it's not going to quite be that easy.
No.
But I don't know. Everyone's saying it's going to be a weak Everest, but these up-and-comers, I don't know. I think we'll look back in this race in a year's time, and the likes of Private Harry, Jimmy Starr, Briar Starr, Lady Shenandoah especially, I think they're a little bit better than people are giving them credit for.
Yeah, I mean, they're not on his level, but they might not have to be if he's, you know, it's a very different world going from Hong Kong to anywhere else. It's a bit of a bubble, and obviously they train their horses very differently. Like I don't know, if I was a horse, I probably wouldn't want to be being trained in Hong Kong, but you know.
2 minutes into this podcast and we've already had Will say, if I was a horse, bring it back.
I've said it before. No, it's a very different environment, and I'm excited to see how he measures up. But I'm going to Everest Day now, so I'm locked in.
Huge. So am I. And I really hope he just wins. Start where we always start. Flemington, what's the weather doing currently? Saturday, there was a little bit of rain today. Saturday says it's a top of 17 to 18, maybe even 19, a sprinkle of rain, but it looks pretty good. Let me just
track will be fine.
Let me get the Racing Australia info up. Rail true, good for at the moment, so it's as good as it gets.
Yeah, no, it's Flemington to a T. It'll be perfect day's racing on Saturday, you'd think.
I'm so keen to bet, mate. This is my highest staking day probably all year. I think early spring is the time to launch, and that's what I've done. Race Fair one. Enough. There's not one race on this card, by the way, that isn't intriguing. Like, every single race has got something to it. We start in race one. It's benchmark 78 over 1,100 metres. She's an Artist, a top price of $2.50 from Stolly Bolly, $6.50. Tonkin goes to 1,100 metres, $8.50. Rich Dotty, $9. Vadeau, $12. And you have to Tarpaulin, $26. He is a dual acceptor, I believe. He's also accepted in at Sydney, in an easier race in Sydney. A full field of 20 to kick us off here down the straight. I have backed two horses. The first of those is the favourite. She's an Artist, $2.70 I got. Look, if you're an SP profiler, this horse started $1.50 on debut, bumped into Fiadello, who was coming off a high rating win at start two, started $4 second favourite, absolutely gave him a galloping lesson. And then at start three, $1.30 turned over by Bridal Waltz, but the rating was still quite good.
And that's not anything untoward. Like, Bridal Waltz went on to win that race at Caulfield.
Correct. She's a good horse, Bridal Waltz. And I think She's an Artist is a good horse as well, and I think she's very backable here in a benchmark 78. All her work leading into this has been good. She's only had a short spell. Craig Williams, perfect. I guess the barrier, a lot depends on where they are going down the straight, but she's a very comfortable bet to have. And the other one I've backed is Rich Dotty, who at the end of last preparation ran third behind Alabama Lass and Gallant Sun. That was in the Sunlight Classic, or they changed the name to the Hong Kong Jockey Club World Sprint Classic, World Pool Sprint Classic. That was a high rating race. Start before was really good down the straight as well. She has got some good figures on the board, and she draws the grandstand rail. So I've backed her at $10, and I've backed She's an Artist at $2.70. I reckon I've just about got the race wrapped up.
What about Stolly Bolly?
I thought it was a little bit short.
I thought it was second pick, just with fitness.
Yep.
But I think it's a you're either with or you're against sort of race, and I'm undecided whether I'm going to be with or against. I think I've got a 240, and I could if I really wanted to, I could push her into a lot shorter than that. Just gapping a couple that might not have any chance. So, what do you think of Tonkin?
I thought she's a little bit of a risk up in trip.
Yeah, I thought. She's winning these 1,000 meter races. She might be pretty good, but I'm happy to risk her at $8. That seemed short enough to me, but She's an Artist. I thought she's a 240 chance and I could be shorter. So I think it's one I'll figure out in the day. But at this point, if you wanted to back her punters, then I'm steaming because this could be a...
You know what's going to happen here? You can get $2.50 right now. You marked a 240 and you're not even going to have a bet because she'll be even money on the day. That's what's going to happen.
Probably, and I'm not going to care. I'll just watch it.
I don't know. I'm not built like you. I can't do that stuff. Missing a bet on like a Thursday that I like, and then it gets to Saturday and I've missed the price I want. I want to tear my hair out. But you've got, what's the word? Better self-control than me.
Well, there's millions and millions of races I'm going to bet into in my time. So,
yeah, and this is a golden opportunity. Yeah. Race two. It's a Poseidon Stakes, listed 1,100 metres for the three-year-olds. Do you find it fascinating that they've got the McNeil at 1,200 and then they go back to 11?
It is a bit weird, isn't it?
It is a bit. I guess the McNeil might be more for those Guineas horses who are kicking off, and this might be more for Coolmore horses. But at the end of the day, there are horses in this race who are going to run in both. So they're back in trip, and they're down the straight. Tycoon Star, $2.90 favorite from Legacy Bound, $3.80. We've got Devil Knight, $5. McGaw, $6.50. And Shining Smile, 1,100 meters down the straight. That suits him, $11. Where do you want to start here? Because Tycoon Star hasn't done much wrong, but Legacy Bound has been running time, unbeaten 2 from 2, and the money has come early.
Yeah, I thought that, I mean, the race went well in the McNeil, but I'm a little bit iffy on just the way that race worked out and how the track was playing that day at Caulfield. There was a strong tailwind, and interestingly, if you look at the track speeds that day, the straight was a lot slower than the rest of it. Like, you look at the 4 and the 2, like, it played at like 2 to 3 grades slower. So it was so hard to make ground if you're already, especially with the tailwind out of the chute, it was hard to make ground that day. And they took the initiative and went forward on Tycoon Star. And look, I'm just happy to be against him coming back a trip. He's got the fitness advantage over Legacy Bound, but I loved what Legacy Bound did in Adelaide. When they run time early, and then the mid race, they put the pace went off in the mid race, and then he extended over the last sort of 400 meters. He's just, I think if they ran that as solidly and they didn't slow up through that the 8 to the 4, I think he would have absolutely put an even bigger hole in them. Like that 2.8 lengths to Steel Trap is generous in my opinion. So I think he might be one right out of the box. I think 1,100 meters is somewhat of a query, but I think 1,200 is better in time. So yeah, I'm pretty keen to be on Legacy Bound. The price has gone off, but it's edging back out, so you might get a better price, who knows. But also, I find it interesting that Mark Zara rides Legacy Bound. Obviously, he was in Sydney when, because he had the ride on Tycoon Star first up, and then he went to Sydney second up when they were racing at Caulfield. So he takes the ride on Legacy Bound there. So I thought that was a little bit interesting.
It is a bit interesting. Surely Devil Knight is the big hole in the market here at $5. I thought he was really disappointing first up.
Yeah, he was. He was pretty bad. So he gets J-Mac, but he'd want to. I think $5 is short. I think it's more like an $8 chance.
McGaw was really sound in that McNeil return. I would love to see this horse up in trip rather than back in trip.
Agree. Yeah, and he had the advantage of being forward, and they made the right decision to do that. But yeah, I think Legacy Bound's a $3.20 chance.
Yep. And Shining Smile, any loves the straight track, but this is hard.
I thought he was easy enough to risk.
Yeah. So I think we're saying it's mostly a race in two. Oh.
2.5. I'd give Igor a chance.
Yeah, fair enough. I'd probably have Tycoon Star on top, but right now I haven't had a bet. Let's move on to race 3. The Alford Plate, as we've called it in times gone by. The Exford Plate, listed 1,400 metres. Vinrock has been really well backed, but into $3.50 favourite. Mm. It opened as big as $5.50 with some corps. Really big price. Crossbow, $4.20. Just Kick, $7. Hopefully she just kicks onto the Oaks, because you've told me to back it, and I have. Wise In-Law, $9. West of Swindon, $9.50. Beaten at Kembla Grange last time.
Well, yeah, what's doing there? It was wide there, but it was disappointing. And the market, you started 260 there. You'd have thought if the market had any opinion of it, it would have started a bit shorter than that.
There. Yeah, could be a little bit mythical. I don't know. I want to see it again.
Yeah.
And Festozo, $14. Sabi Storm, $18. And Highvol, $19. I've backed two horses out of the same lead-up. That was last start in the McNeil Stakes. Really, really fast run race. I don't think either of them were ready for it, because both of them were only first up. First horse is Vinrock, who, look, to the eye, it's disappointing last time, but he's going to go straight to the front here from barrier 12. He's going to appreciate a slightly softer tempo. He's easily the best horse in the race, having won a Group 1 Anglicise at the end of last preparation. And I just think this is his chance to bounce back. I think you can really be forgiving of that six-length defeat last time just with the way the race panned out, $3.80 SP. I think he went around close to favourite. And this map works out really good. Crossbow, open favourite. Vinrock's a much better horse than Crossbow. So Vinrock I've backed at $4. The other one I've backed at $31 each way is Highvol, who actually opened 70-1 with the TAB. Went bang, bang, won his first two starts. Second start beat Bocluse. And then last time, yet again, first up, McNeil Stakes. Just really, really, really fast tempo. His closing splits are almost identical to Vinrock's and maps really nicely from barrier five, has the win at Flemington at 1,400. So I just thought he was a really big price and one I could get involved with at that 30-1 price. I still think you might get better than 20-1. You could have something smaller.
Yeah, it was interesting that Highvol opened to such a big price. Obviously, I didn't see that price, but yeah, I mean, I don't have much of an opinion in this race. The more I look at it, I do agree with you. Vinrock was forgivable just with the way that track was playing. And, you know, it was first up and then the straight was racing a lot slower. So the margin was exaggerated, I think, in my opinion. But, yeah, I mean, I would have taken, before I got my shit together, I would have taken $4, but now it's $3.50 and probably that's about the right price, I'd have thought. I wouldn't be surprised if he starts $2.80, you know, just the way that the market might push him. But the one that sort of half interested me was Fastoso.
Fastoso,
yeah. Won well at the maidens and might be a nice horse. But the horse for the future is Just Kick. This will win the Oaks, I think.
Well, we've got to pray that she doesn't go to the 1,000 guineas.
They should go to the Oaks.
You could still do both.
Gear Kick and Alabama Lass, Alabama Express.
And they are a camp who love an Oaks / Derby runner. We actually had Emily Brown on the coverage day, had a quick interview with her, and she was talking about this horse. And the boys suggested, well, we didn't really get to that point about talking about what she might target.
It's like the questions you need to ask, Ben.
Well, I'm sitting there as the bookie, as the third person, and I'm not really asking questions. We've got Falgate hosting and Salts in the form chair. And maybe when I'm a bit more comfortable after a few more months, I'll ask a few more questions. But right now, I'm just staying in my lane. Race 4, listed, capped on Tibes, 1,100 metres. This is for our speedy fillies. And yet again, charge of the Light Brigade, because we've got 20 acceptors. Enormous.
It's good. It's good.
My Gladiola is favourite. Number 2, Saddlecloth, but number 20, Barrier. $5 from Signature Scent, $6.50. Steel Trap, $7.50. Inkaruna, $8. Biologics, $9. Scenic Point, well, she was the well-spruced favourite who ended up drifting and starting second favourite last time, disappointed. You can now get $12 for her if you want to be forgiving. I'll let you go first.
Yeah, My Gladiola has to be the bet here, doesn't she? Like, she's... I think she's a $4 chance, and that's, yeah, she just has to be a bet. $5. I mean, I think she's easily the best horse. I think we saw it on debut, and then they tried something like she was just fighting Jamie Mott the whole time that in the second start at Caulfield didn't work, and then had a checkered passage in the Blue Diamond. It's so easy to forgive. She trialed up huge. She was enormous first up, and then trialed up nicely between runs. Drawn widest. It just sets up so perfectly. I think she's a great bet.
I agree. I've taken $5.50. She ran the fastest final 400 metres of the race last time. Ferrivia got up and threw that gap and beat her after it looked like she was just going to win, but I think she'll only improve from that. I like the straight track for her. Just a big turn of foot horse. She's had a little jump out between runs. Did you see that? It was really nice work. Yeah. Beating Blue Hotel and Legacy Bound. And I agree. And there's certain bookmakers who like to have an opinion with their pricing early, and a few of them are shortest price her in this race. So I would take $5 on offer.
scope that.
Great. Happy to move on. Race five, the listed Tontonen Stakes, 1,400 metres, Transatlantic, $5.50. There are a few people, spruking this horse as a potential two-rack horse spot, $5.50 favourite from Athanatos, $8, Pop Award, $8, Rise at Dawn, $9, Warnie, $9, Wonder Boy, $9, and Jerry Gong, $10, as well as Cafe Millennium, who beat Splashback there in Adelaide last time. Tell us your thoughts on this race.
Well, I think Transatlantic has to be the starting point. I think, you know, it beat Desert Lightning in the chief quality up in Eagle Farm and, you know, started
a short price.
Yeah. And obviously Desert Lightning's come out and ran fourth in the Stradbroke and obviously won the, what race? Oh, the So You Think last weekend.
Yeah.
And then was caught wide without cover in the Stradbroke. It's not easy to do. Started $9 Betfair SP there. Nice trial first up for Tony Golan and rocks up. I think it's easy to back. And the other one as well, Robrick, has to be a bet here. I thought it was a long way out of its ground. First up, outpaced over 1,200 metres. And this horse can run a number. You know, this horse was 1,200 metres down the straight in the Flemington Carnival behind Ray Magnerio. Nadal was there. You know, this horse can run a number and I wouldn't be surprised. It's $21. It's a massive price. The map's disgusting, but it has to be a bet, I would have thought. Like, if the gaps come, it's gonna be right there. This horse is good enough to be, you know, if he was on song and everything, like, he'd have a perfect preparation, I think he'd be in the market. And then you go down to Emirati is another one that I was half interested, but I've noticed that it's been
smash
supported. Yeah, so we'll leave that. What else do I think? A Pop Award, I think the map's a little bit gross. Garen Gong, I think everything was in its favour at Caulfield, and, you know, it was fine there. But I'm a little bit worried about 1,400 metres for it as well. Warnie, I'm going to risk Warnie. Like, I don't have much of an opinion of it at all. And Athanatos is an easy enough horse to risk. I think it'll go back from the wide gate.
Yep. Pop Award doesn't really strike me as a 1,400 metre horse.
It does. I've always thought she was a 400 metre horse.
I could be wrong. Always... Maybe she is. What about Cafe Millennium? But... Didn't do much wrong last time.
No, it didn't, but it's Cafe Millennium.
Yeah. Well,
in the nicest way possible. It's gonna... Yeah.
It was given a good ride by Celine, that's for sure.
It was.
And he'll go back. So, yeah, Transatlantic, he does look hard enough to beat. The caveat to that $2 SP against Desert Lightning, he was well weighted against him. I think he had 5 or 6 kilos, but still noteworthy. All right, race six, not even the first leg of the quaddie because there's 10. Group two, 1,200 metres. It is the Bobby Lewis Stakes. Arkansas Kid, the $4 favourite from Royal Insignia, $5. Media World, $7.50. Corniche, $8. Star Patrol, I reckon he won this race. Did he win this race a couple of years ago? Yep, there you go. He's also won a Gilguy, so he's a Group 2 Flemington specialist, you could say, $9. Airman has been trialing very, very well. Gets J-Mac, $9.50. Stepardi, $14. Give me the Beat Boys, $14. And Tuvalu comes up here at 20-1. I know Nico isn't on the podcast, so I'll give it a mention. He is a Wongoon winner. There's your Wongoon mention.
Yeah, the last year's Bobby Lewis quality winners in the race as well. Arkansas Kid won this race.
Yep.
So the last two winning, I think it'll be Royal Insignia winning this year. I think it's a 390 chance, and that seems really, really right to me. It was really good in the inferior lanes first up when I was super keen on him. But, you know, good for Flemington straight. Craig Williams on, down in the weights. It's just so perfect. I think he's going to run a career peak and I don't think they'll be able to go with him. I think he's a super clerk horse. And I think he might win this pretty easily. I mean, I've got him 390, so I'm putting a bit of mayo on it, but I've got a really good opinion of this horse. And I think he'll run a career peak here.
Huge. Did you take a little slice of 550 early?
I didn't, but I will take $5 eventually.
Sweet. I don't think I've got too much more to add. Like, what's your thoughts on Arkansas Kid? He's pretty consistent.
Yeah, he's fine. He's going to run his number. I think he, you know, like, he's a $5 chance for me. I'm scared about him. But, you know, I just have our Royal Insignia going to this number that I don't think Arkansas Kid can. And maybe I'm wrong, but maybe Arkansas Kid is the right favorite. And the betting was in his favor last time. And he last time they met, obviously, in the Regal Roller. And obviously the ride was a little bit questionable there on Arkansas Kid. But, yeah, I'm just super happy to be with Royal Insignia in this race.
Yep. Have you seen Airman's Trials in Sydney? He's not a bad horse.
I haven't, but you keep telling me they're very good.
Yeah, like, he's a premier stakes winner, beating Marzu last year. He almost won a Sydney Stakes going back a year before. He's got some quality on the board. I don't know. It's interesting. Tuvalu.
Yeah. I mean, he's got that one big number beating Marzu and stuff, but he's SP'd 60-1 there and had an easy time of it. So
yeah.
I like, just referring to the rest of his form, he's pretty easy to, I mean, he gets J-Mac, but he might have trialed well, but, you know, he's had 18 starts in his six, so I doubt there's much improvement left in him.
Yep. Star Patrol comes here off 315 days.
Yeah, you can leave me out of it.
Is there any price that he becomes a bet if he just keeps drifting?
I mean, with him, it'd be, like, I think it's funny you bring that up, because if he's $9 out to $20, you don't want a piece of it.
Yeah,
but true. If he's $9 into $5, you're shit scared. So, yeah. Especially in that stable. But I'm very happy to risk him on Saturday. He's barely had a run. Really, yep. In the last sort of 24 months.
He's had plenty of problems, but he's got a decent amount of talent as well. All right, the first leg of the quaddie is the Lexus Archer Stakes. Don't know why I read out the sponsor there. Just made sense in my head. 2,500 meters, group Lexus. 3. Yeah, Lexus, please sponsor us. This is a win and you're into the Melbourne Cup, I believe. And Revelare is one of those who isn't into the Cup, but if he makes his way in, could make an impression on the race. He's $3 favorite from Sayadati. Sadati has been really well supported into $7. Bird Abai for the Maya Racehorse Clan, $7. Jennifer Moose, $8.50. Mormona, $8.50. Post Impressionist, $9.50. Don't know how it's $9.50. And then New Look is $14. I truly believe I have this race by the scruff of the balls. I have backed Mormona at $12. I thought he was awesome last time at Caulfield in that 2,000 meter handicap behind Revelare. His final closing splits were only bettered by one horse in the race. It wasn't the winner. It was Middle Earth, who is a very, very talented horse in his own right. Mormona does have the 2,800 meter win at Flemington the start prior, ran really, really well at Rosehill. It just has a consistent bank of ratings that have it in the game here. Draws well, barrier 5, 54 kilos, Mickey D. I still think $8.50 on offer right now isn't a bad bet. And I've backed the favorite Revelare as well for a slightly smaller result, but still a good result. Look, he comes up to 2,500 meters for the first time. I don't really have any issues with that. The issue might be the gate. He's going to go back from barrier 11. He might give them a start. He might be wide on the corner at some stage, but he's got plenty of talent. And I think the biggest positive for this horse is getting away from Caulfield and getting back to the big track at Flemington, which he loves. All of his dominant wins are at Sandown, Flemington, on these really big tracks where he can really use his action, stretch out and win. So I reckon it's a two-horse race.
Yeah, I think it's a lot flatter mark than what it is. I thought the two horses that I gave chances at flyers was Tyromansaur and Jabberwockies. I thought Jabberwockies was really good first up, and then I wanted to back him second up, but he drew one, the inside was going to be off, and he was still good there. And then I did back him at Sandown, he got done a nostril, so but I'll be on him again. And Tyromansaur is, I thought he went to the line well alongside Middle Earth. And he's building to something. He's got some figures that have him in this you know, in the discussion of winning this race. Obviously, Revelare. I'm interested that you think he's going to go back. I wouldn't be surprised if he tries to make the pace.
Maybe. Just don't think it's like, natural.
I don't know. I don't think he'll go back. Like, I've never really... Like, he's got early speed. It's just that Ryan Hurdle was riding him. No offense to him, but, like...
Declan Bates is definitely a... upgrade from Ryan Hurdle. No disrespect, as you said, but yeah, Declan Bates is a good jockey. He's probably a genuine B grader in Victoria.
What do you think of Sayadati Sadati? He's going to make the pace, and I'm interested in him up to a mile and a half and a bit.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's probably. Do you reckon he leads this race? Comes across, yeah, does a little bit of work. It's not easy to lead for 2,500 meters at Flemington. He's drawn the widest gate of all. He probably gets across easy enough, but he's just one I was happy to risk at $7.
Yeah, fair enough. I do. Momona does look big in this race.
Revelare is the one, like, from a romantic point of view, it's the one we want to win and get in the cup, surely.
Yeah, he's Australian bred and all that sort of stuff, so that'll be good for the media.
Yeah, 100%. All right, let's get to the feature. Group 1 Maccabi Davis Stakes, race 8. Wait for Age, Over the Mile. Via Sestina, well supported into $1.90 from Aliana, $4.40. Mr. Brightside, he's going for three in a row, $5.50. I was just listening to the Racing and Sports podcast. No male horses won three Group 1s, same race, at Flemington before. I couldn't believe it.
Is that right?
I could not believe it.
Really?
So imagine the scenes if he gets up. What, you'll be front and center, no doubt.
Yeah.
Antino, $7.50. Tom Kitten, $13. And Mark Twain, you can get a top price of 130-1. Let's start with the map. Mr. Brightside should lead them from barrier one. Very, very soft lead. I'm saying very slow tempo. Via Sestina, she's not often like, bang straight out of the gates, but I still think she'll be hustled up to be on the fence somewhere in that second group. Tom Kitten and Antino and Aliana, they're the interesting ones. I'm not sure which of them sit second. I probably had, if Tom Kitten doesn't miss the start like he did in his jump out, I think Ben Malham just wasn't ready. I think he sort of tries to go forward, and then that leaves Aliana two off, two back, and Antino. Some people have him mapped outside lead. I didn't have that. I think he'll go back and he'll try and circle them and make the big mid-race move at some point. How did you see the race panning out?
I wouldn't be surprised if they run it in Indian file.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. I think I have no idea what sits second. Like, Mr. Brightside leads from who? I mean, if Tom Kitten, he can be forward if he jumps. Antino can, like, he's been, I think in this race last year, he sat second. If he jumps, but maybe the play, maybe what they want to
that
do
was prior to Jenny in the race, though.
Yeah. Still, like, he was there.
Yeah, but I think what I'm saying is that Blake Shin probably had it in his mind to be, I'm not going to let prior Jenny get away with this, so I'm going to go forward early. Whereas this is going to be slowly run race. He can be three lengths out the back and still make it up within 100 metres. Like, you know what I mean? It's just whether he can sustain that and be good enough to hold off the likes of Via Sestina. I think he's the bet. I think he's over the odds.
I thought it was really interesting that he went up the price he was. Like, he wasn't good first up, but, you know, we saw how good he was in Brisbane, and that's like, you can, that's not fake.
There's so much recency bias in these markets.
Oh, I mean, not really. Like, I think if you're way off in a Group 1 wait for age race, like, if you're, like, that far off market, I think you're probably wrong. But, like, it just seems really... 750 seems...
Open to 850.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't really have much of an opinion in the race. I think it's really, really tricky. But it seems big to me. And if I was going to have a bet, I'd back Antino.
Yeah.
But I probably won't have a bet.
J-Mac might just ride Via Sustain like the best horse, which is what she is.
It's going to be hard to, though, isn't it? Like, she's going to be coughing, and then Antenna's going to take off. And then if Mr. Brightside can sprint, that's like, hopefully he does. But, like, she might be, like, when the pace goes on at the 800, 600, she might get flushed out the back. Like, Antenna will be making his run, Mr. Brightside will respond. And Aliana will be swooping. She might be. She's a big horse too. It's not like she can. She'd be able to squeeze through a gap. She's the best horse in Australia. Mm.
She doesn't have like an automatic, like if Antenna just whips around him and puts 3 lengths on her at the 400. She doesn't have like an immediate response. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean she's a mile and a quarter horse, so it's not. I mean she does have a.
I think she's still got a bloody good turn of foot, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I think the map's tricky for her. But, like, I mean, I've got no idea what sits second.
It could be her.
She, yeah, J-Mac could absolutely, like, push her out of the gates to sit outside lead. And, like, he's like, amazing. So it wouldn't surprise me at all. She sits outside lead. It's probably all over.
Yeah. Yeah, she's the most likely winner. I think she's a little bit short. I've got her as a saver only. My two main results on the race just through futures and copping some nice prices, Aliana and Antino. Aliana, her one start at Flemington 1600 metres, she bolted in with a carbine club. You go, probably wasn't that strong a carbine club. She beat a 2B come Australian Guineas winner and 1000 Guineas winner. So two Group 1 winners in second and third. We've seen what she's gone on to do. She wasn't far off Via. First up, and if V gets stuck in traffic at a certain time, then Damian Lane's just going to be giggling to himself. And Antino is the one. Look, only second up. A lot of his bigger ratings do come later on in the preparation. That's something you want to have a think about. But, yeah, I just thought it was a little bit over the odds. It's a fascinating race. Mr. Brightside beat Via Sestina easily in this race last year. I know the circumstances were prior to Jenny and Via wasn't ready for that tempo second up of a really, really slowly run race. But gee, it's fascinating.
Oh, it's a great race and I can't wait for it. Hopefully Mr. Brightside goes back to back to back.
Yeah. I don't think she's over the line by any stretch, Via, but if she wins this, then she might never lose again.
I think this is their best chance to get her.
Yeah. No, I concur. Right, the Let's Elope, race 9, 1400 meter group 2. If J-Mac doesn't win the 8th, I reckon he'll be winning the 9th with Lazura, who's into $2.50 favorite from On Display. She put on a real display last time at Caulfield, $6. O2 Good has been well supported. She doesn't often produce her absolute best first up. She's $6, Splashback $10, Abounding $11, and Marble Arch $15. Did you have a bet here?
No, I thought Lazura is a 280 chance. On Display looks short to me. Abounding looks the right price. I think it's priced up pretty well.
Yep. I backed Lazura at $2.90. She returned with a new career peak in Sydney. That was in the Show County, 1,200 metres. She went around $8, so I think the market sort of thought, is 1,200 metres a little bit short for her? Well, no, heavy 10 track. She beat a pretty good sprinter in With Your Blessing with ease. Shot through the gap, J-Mac on one easily. She's a horse who ran fourth in a Queen of the Turf last prep. She was a moral beaten in the Emancipation behind Lecvade. And prior to that, she spanked him in a file up. So she's the classy horse. She's the map horse here from Barrier 6. I think she'll be probably midfield. Maybe even a touch better with J-Mac on from that barrier. And she'll just be able to dictate to a lot of these. O2 Good, as I said, usually takes a few to improve into the preparation. Splashback, just the gate, barrier 14. She's going to go all the way back to last, but she's scary. And if there's a headwind at Flemington or whatever and these horses are coming down the outside, I could see her winning. But I've backed the Lazura strong and I've had a saver on Display, who I think is a Group 1 horse to come. 60.5 last time, one dominant fashion. I just think the map, it could potentially be disastrous from barrier 1.
Yep. Agree. That was my query.
Yep. Move on.
Yep.
Race 10, Open handicap, 1,700 metres. As I said, there's not one bad race on this card. Globe, $2.80 favourite from Kingswood, $7. The Koonji winner. We've got Golden Path, carries a big weight, 61 kilos. He's $9. Pounding, $10. Plymouth, $13. Hard to cross. Well, he wasn't hard to find for a lot of people last time because he was smashed in betting, won accordingly, $17. What do you like?
Young Werther should be favourite in this race, and he's $18.
See, acting on verbal one today for Danny. He was keen on it. A horse who had some talent.
Yeah. Yeah, that Starfleet Commander won that Pakenham Synthetic, and the race went no good and was in the market there. Anyway, that doesn't matter. Young Werther was very good behind Hard to Cross, was in a different race, started $70 essentially Betfair, and ran some very nice closing sectionals. And this is Young Werther. Like we everyone knows who Young Werther is. He is a horse that ran, I think it was Old fourth Werther. In the Champion Stakes. Like what did you say?
Old Werther.
Yeah. Well, he's old now. I just can't get over how the price is. I mean, I'm obviously, you know, I'm fudging it a bit. Like I haven't priced the race 100% properly, but like the way I've sort of just done it quickly, Young Werther is just like one of the great bets at $18. He'll go off. He has to go off. Damien Lane jumps on. The Gorman Shoes come off. I don't know. He's a great bet. Second up. I'll back Plymouth too. Globe, you know, he's probably the right favorite, but you can have him at 270. That seems short enough to me. Like I say I've got Young Werther favorite, but like once I fix all these things up, he won't be a favorite, but like he's still going to be a bet. I'm going to have him like $6-$7 thereabouts. He's $18. It's a phenomenal bet.
Huge.
He was enormous. The horses he was back with at Moonee Valley, it was hard to make ground. He absolutely gapped them. He was enormous. Closing splits were great. He won't start at $18. And if he does, we'll have a great bet on it.
Love it.
I'm backing Plymouth too.
All right, great. So we've got Plymouth at around $13 and Young Werther at $18. You beauty. All right, let's get up to Sydney, Rosehill Gardens, Western Sydney, the slums.
Is it?
Oh,
I don't know much about Sydney.
Western Sydney's got a bit of a rap on it. There's a couple interesting towns. I looked at the weather app at the start of the week. Had a couple all-in bets. I saw 20 to 30 mils of rain throughout the week. Thought, yeah, it's all right. Dries up by Thursday night, Friday into Saturday. We'll be playing on a soft six at worst. Heavy 10. Just hasn't stopped raining. Like this is just typical Sydney. The good races start and it is just pouring down. It's been 60 mils of rain in the last couple of days. It's just
Jesus.
It's just an absolute joke. However, we do get 2.5 full days of drying weather, 20, 21 degrees, winds. Hopefully this track just goes through, hopefully this water goes through the profile. We get back to it. Oh, I'm hoping soft seven. I'm really hoping soft seven. It might not happen. It might be heavy eight, but it is going to be an improving track, whatever happens. Hopefully it's enough time for it to recover. Race six is the Ming Dynasty, 1,400 meters, group three. I believe this is for three-year-olds. Autumn Boy, $3 favorite from 60s, 650. Flying Orchard, 750. Grand Prairie, 750. Federalist, $10. And San Giovanni is $12. Oh, I absolutely love that Autumn Boy drew a terrible gate in the Run to the Rose and they're coming here. First up, 1,400 meters. Plenty of intent. Great barrier, barrier four. That last start rating is just so much better than these. And he just has to get through the wet track. He won on a soft seven on debut at Canterbury. He beat a horse called Central Coast, who's got a bit of talent himself. Probably should have won on Wednesday. But just didn't really handle the really heavy eight track. His recent trial coming into this was quiet. They tried to hide it, but then through the line, he just storms straight past them. I think $3 is a good price. I think he's going to be one of the horses to beat in a Golden Rose and maybe even a Caulfield Guineas. He's by the Autumn Sun. He's got that beautiful long action that the Autumn Sun had himself. and this is just a great kickoff point for him. Federalist has got plenty of talent. He's been trialing really well, but I think he's more the spring champion slash derby horse. Any thoughts at all on this race?
By Arcadia Queen. Yeah, well, it's hard to ignore the number that Autumn Boy ran on his second start. And on debut, really. The time, the sectional times were off the charts, and then he was well-backed in the Tattersall Stakes. It's hard to ignore that number.
It's not often you see a Waller horse start 50-1 on debut and then win at 50-1, firstly, and then go around at $2.70 at start two.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just think people will look at that 50-1 price on debut, but the market just clearly didn't know what was under the hood yet. But they saw it, and he was up to 1,400 metres at start two, went up to Queensland and Fair Dinkum, bolted in. Really good rating, really good time. So, yeah, I'm keen.
This Grand Prairie's got some good form around it.
Yep. It sure does. That's the fit horse.
I'm talking about Pictor, the Cornwall winner. Pictor will win the Cornwall. No, Pictor will win it. This go back and watch Grand Prairie's maiden win where he beat Pictor. Pictor is a proper horse. Don't fucking laugh at me.
I've black booked it, and I don't know if I've had something on it or not. But anyway, let's move on to race seven. The Shirako Stakes, 1,200 meter group two. Jolly Star is the $2.30 favorite from Gangster Granny, $3.50. Amina, $9.50. Steffi Magnetica is a dual acceptor, $10. Manal, $13. Lilac, $13. This is an interesting race because heavy 10 track right now, everyone has been sort of saying Jolly Star is a query on heavy track. I think they have avoided heavy tracks a few times. So that's in the back of my mind. If this was a good track, I'd be rating her a $1.90 chance. The heavy does worry me a little bit, but she goes really well fresh. Look, she's an Everest horse. She started favorite in Everest last year. I think she started $4.80 or $5 favorite. She's just one of our best sprinters. It's as simple as that. She's won a Newmarket. She ran second in an all-age to Jimmy Starr. She's got to carry the 59 here, but she's just got panels on these from a class perspective. And 1,200 metres first up is just her A game. So, yeah, the wet track is the only thing stopping me from declaring her, and that is Advantage Gangster Granny, who ran a really good rating first up last time against Autumn Glow. I think potentially that race got rated a little too high, but I can understand why it was rated as such, given the time versus the other sprint races on the day. What did you think of that?
I don't know. I just can't get over a horse this good is named Gangster Granny. Like, normally, like, it's, you have a horse that's this good. Like, why would you name it that? It's like Gangster Granny cannot be beating.
Can't be a good horse.
Horse named Gangster Granny cannot be beating the Newmarket handicap winner. That's disgusting.
I almost tweeted something like this, and I'm just like, no, I'm going to regret this so hard.
When she wins and the Nuffies get into you.
This is exactly what I'm thinking. Like, how can a horse called Gangster Granny
beat the Newmarket handicap winner? She won a Newmarket. She pissed in, and she's going to get beaten by a Gangster Granny? It's not going to fucking happen. It's good.
I hope Waller doesn't scratch her. He could scratch her and wait for the shorts next week at Randwick. Then all of a sudden, the shorts is like Private Harry versus Briasa versus Jolly Star. Like, pfft, what a race. But I shouldn't have even said that. Anyway.
What?
I can't afford for her to be scratched here because I've had a couple all-in plays. And if she scratches, my money is burnt bread. It's dead.
All right. Fair enough. Well, I'll probably scratch then.
Don't say that. Hopefully, I don't scratch. We want that improving track. Soft seven, Chris, run her, please. Are they clearly the one, too?
Oh, they have to be.
Yeah.
Steffi Magnetic is a good horse, but, you know, draw nine, she'll probably go back, won't she?
Yeah. Amina's got some good form and ratings on the board.
She was good in South Australia.
Yeah.
But no, those are the two.
Surely Jolly Star just pisses him.
You'd think
just
so.
Wish, oh, like.
But Gangster Granny ran great time. Slightly raced too. She could have been caught him by surprise. Where'd she start her career? Kensington. Oh, she ran third to Aliana. There you go.
Soft five or better. I am absolutely declaring Jolly Star here. Just Sydney weather. Like, get in the bin, seriously. Anyway, race eight, the run to the Rose. Group two, 1,200 metres. Raging Force has been a force to be reckoned with. I think that's the line that Darren Flindell went with. He also said it when Nature Strip won the Everest. $3.20 favourite from Woden, $5.50. Tempted's also $5.50. Skyhook, $9.50. And Bevacht is into $11 from Nepotism, $12. The Champagne Stakes winner. Have you seen Godolphin's record in this race? The last
it's mental, 6 years? Isn't it?
They've won five of the last six.
Jesus, it's not bad.
Let me get it up. I think they've had Cylinder. They've had Traffic Warden.
In Secret.
In Secret, Bivouac, Animo. Going back even further, they've had Astern, Exosphere. Like, this is Godolphin's race. And I'm backing two of their horses. The first is Tempted. She comes here only first up. A heavy track would be some query, given she doesn't have fitness against some of these. But look, she started favorite in a Golden Slipper. She was unlucky in that. She beat Mahuna, the Golden Slipper winner, prior to that. And she sat wide in a Percy Sykes and just absolutely brained them. Her trial leading into this has been awesome. She now goes to Kieran Maher. Ethan Brown is one of the best countries in the jockey, one of the best jockeys in the country. I don't care what anyone says. He's flying. And Barrier 7 should be perfect. So she's my on-top selection. I've also backed the German Bivouac, Bevacht, at $15. He was game first up. He sat wide, covered a fair bit of ground, was still there kicking to the end, only beaten two lengths by Raging Force and Woten. Barrier 4 gets a perfect run. I guess it's a bit of an acid test to see if he'll run out a strong 1,200 metres, which he hasn't done to date yet, but he gets his opportunity from a nice draw. So I've backed both of those, and I've had a little saver on Woten, who was a little bit unlucky. I mean, Tommy Berry chopped him off, ran him into the fence last time, and the only query here is he's drawn Barrier 11 and just where he gets to from the map. But I thought Raging Force, he was my best bet last time. I think he looks mighty short at $3.20. I think 1,200 metres is a query. And although he's got fitness on a lot of these, I reckon he'll be found wanting that last 50. What did you think?
Not a lot. She'd like, it's a good race.
Cracker.
Is query maybe 1,200 for Raging Force?
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. Skyhook is the other one you've got to have a look at.
Well, I thought Bayback was good first up, wide.
Yep. Yeah, as I said, I'm with the Godolphin horses. They're my two main results in the race, and I've just had a smaller saver on Woten.
What about Nepotism? I know he's probably going to get better over further, but
he actually sprinted quite well on debut from a long way back. I just reckon he might – look, they're not going to be trying to win this. He's drawn Barrier 5. He's going to go back to near last, and they'll just be happy for him to run on to fourth or fifth. Like, it just looks a low percentage play in terms of bet on Saturday.
Probably.
All right, let's move on to race nine, the Theo Marks. We see a rising superstar in Autumn Glow step up from 1,100 to 1,300 metres. It's a group two. She's $1.60. Karen McAvoy goes on board. A lot of people are saying that's yuck. Well, the man's had one sit on her. He won easily. $1.60 from Pier, $10. General Salute, $10. Steffi Magnetica, $12. Airman, $21. Straight Acer, $21. This is a big field, and she's still holding down a $1.55, $1.60 favorite. You've got good horses, or decent enough horses at double figures. Is it as simple as she just donkey looks them again?
Probably, but it's short, isn't it? Jesus.
Yeah, it is short. I managed to catch a certain establishment napping today. They had a $1.85 sitting there for a little bit, and I snapped that up, and it's quickly gone.
What about Espionage? I've always had a bit of an opinion of it.
She's got he's got talent. He ran all right in an Oakley plate. I don't know. I just
I just forget that preparation because he had so much time off.
Yeah. Autumn Glow and Lady Shenandoah, they just keep putting down, like, even when they're only winning by, you know, a length and a half, they just keep putting down these big rating wins. Like, the time is so good compared to the rest of the day. Autumn Glow now has two or three figures that are just like boom, 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 right there at the top of the page here. She improves up to 1300. She draws beautifully in barrier six. Like, just don't stuff up this ride, Karen, and she wins.
Probably. She'll improve up in distance too.
Yep. And she's ticked the heavy track box now. She ran on a pretty gluggy track last time, and this is going to be a heavy eight, soft seven by the time she runs. So, no, she just wins. She's the best bet of the day, the most likely winner of the day anyway.
I'm sure there's a $1.20 shot somewhere in Queensland, maybe Toowoomba.
Yeah, there probably is. I don't know if they're as reliable as her. She's unbeaten.
They all pay the same, mate.
They do. That's it. Asfura goes around in the Flying Five on the weekend. She'll be hard to beat again. Apparently there's a bit of rain though, so that's a little issue. And Hong Kong I haven't had a good look yet. But I think that's the tipping wrapped up. Do you have anything on Friday or Sunday?
No, I haven't looked yet.
All right, great. All right, podcast multi-time. Here in Nico's quick set, race 8 Flemington, he likes Aliana and Lazura race 9. And then at Rosehill, he's going to take the two Waller star mares in a double, Jolly Star race 7 into Autumn Glow race 9. It's a Waller weekend, he says. And his podcast multi-tip is race 9 Flemington, Lazura. What's yours?
I've got Royal Insignia.
Royal Insignia. Is that race 7 or race 6?
What's it to place? We'll go to place.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
I'll get one of these home. I don't really care. You can tell me if you want me to do a place. I don't mind. What is it? Like
210, 205. We'll take that.
All right.
And I'll go Autumn Glow. Why not? Let's just finally get a podcast multi to win, shall we? And this
What's
will
that gonna
win.
Pay like $5.
No, it'll pay better than that.
Yeah, I know. I'm joking. Can't do maths.
Can you?
No. Not unless it's horse racing.
All right. Let me just find Autumn Glow. Boop, 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 boop. $8.
Not bad.
That's the easiest $8 winner you'll ever have.
Can't get beat.
All right. A couple questions now before we wrap up the podcast. Let's go to Twitter first. I haven't even read these yet. Haven't had the chance to. Roxas FC. This best be starting off in race 1. Just seen a bunch of the names, invoices, and my God, I'm firm. So must be keen on a couple in race 1. Probably She's an Artist is one of those. Ryan Patton. Ben, what's longer? The Flemington Straight, Carlton's Rebuild, or Auntie Jones, Welcome to Country before the Giants and Hawks final? P.S. Nico, we'll give you Sam Frost in exchange for Zach Merritt. What do you think of that trade, bot? I don't think you're getting much bang for buck there.
Oh, God. It's a complete rabble.
Just let him go. He wants to go. Zach Merritt wants to go. Charlie Kerner wants to go. I don't blame them. You can't blame them.
No.
What's longer? Probably Auntie Jones' Welcome to Country. That just went forever. Mitch, which one happens first? Carlton win a final or Observer wins another race? Also, Yorga Pride being $4.20 at Belmont is a gift. Which one happens first, Bob?
Observer win whatever race he goes to next.
All right. Well, there you go. That answers that. Carlton might win a preseason game, but that's about it. And he's also given us a tip there. So Yorga Pride at Belmont, $4.20. Hamish Robertson. Surely Vinrock should be shorter against this field, all things considered. Poor run last start, but looks the bet. Well, Hamish, I hope you took $4 because it's now $3.50. So you'd be right. Roxas FC, got a couple more. Shining Smile, $10. WTF.
Yeah, I'm risking it.
Yeah. Like a lot of people will see it's Flemington straight track form and think the same, but it's up against the big boys now. It's not up against Bots 50-1 shots from the Bright Oak Jenkins Yard. What was that called again?
Prestige Olay or something like that.
Yeah. Potential value picks from Roxas FC, race one to Bergerac, race three High Vol, Cheeky Each Way Bob, race eight Mark Twain, and race nine Marble Arch. I agree with one of those, and that's High Vol, race three. Racing Enough. Anyone else sick of the Carying Rising Potters, even after running a minute 07, not a dollar 07, 107, under a hold and 61 kilos. Also, happy Autumn Glow Day, the girl will win. Yeah. I just, like, what do you think of all the people potting Carying Rising on Twitter? All the Aussies saying she's not that good.
They're allowed to, but they're wrong. Yeah. That's okay.
I would hate to see him come to Australia, not handle the travel and, you know, run a shocker and blow up in the Everest. And
vindicate says, the haters.
Oh, he's not that good. It's just not how it works. It's just not how it works. Black Caviar went to Ascot, didn't handle the travel, had an injury. She only just fell in. Like, things happen, but hopefully he does the job.
Shit happens.
Casual call out, not a question, but I would rather bot ride male model than Craig Atkinson.
Fair enough.
Potato emoji.
I'd do a better job.
Why is everyone betting on Tuesdays and Thursdays on these horses? It's just shit. I'm working at these meetings, so I actually know what some of these horses are now. Whereas beforehand, I would have never even known who male model was. Chris DeCasta, Sicko's multi of Lazuro, Revelare, Autumn Glow, Jolly Star, and Bear Sistina at $48. Back or sack? Why not? Have a bet. K-Mac on Autumn Glow also giving you headaches and flashbacks to Jolly Star or just me? No, he can't stuff this one up. I've said it. Autumn Glow is John Barrier 6. Just less things can go wrong here. Angus Jones, ideal three horse stable for the spring. Sprinter, middle distance, and Stayer. I'll go first. Carying Rising Sprinter. Via Sistina, middle distance, and Sir Delius Stayer.
Yeah, I probably agree with that.
Great. Easy. Ben Jobbo, I'd love to see Blake get to work early on Antino. Very little speed in the race, and that Turak win last year was dominant when he set him alight around the field. What do you reckon? Do you see that happening?
Yeah, I think it will happen.
Yeah.
I think he has to. Like, he can't sit and sprint. Well, he can, but, like, I think it's beneficial for him to take off.
I wonder if they have in their mind at all that, like, they could be giving him gut buster after gut buster and he's still got his green finals to come.
No. That's his asset. They can't think that.
Yeah. I don't think they do, because they tried to do it on a fast tempo first up over 1400. Jack Jenkins, how many beers are myself and you boys sinking when Carying Rising wins the Everest? Oh, hopefully plenty. It'll be good to see some of the faithful on Everest Day in Sydney. I know lots of people are going, so maybe just send us a message on the Twitter page or on the Instagram page or even our personal pages, whatever it is. Jonty Richardson, if you was Chris Waller, would you have taken Jolly Star for your slot in the Everest or Lady Shenandoah?
Probably Lady Shenandoah.
Yeah. I think Lady Shenandoah is a better winning chance in the Everest. But it's not as simple as just that. Like, they could be, like, maybe they got a better deal for one slot holder and the connections were happy with certain things they said or certain splits they made and deals they made. So don't take it as Chris Waller has taken Jolly Star. He's got Jolly Star rated ahead of Lady Shenandoah. Don't take it like that at all, because there are so many more things politics. That go. So many more things that go on behind the scenes with these slot races. Isaac Bashir, which internationals are worth following for the Melbourne Cup besides Sir Delius?
Say again?
Which internationals are worth following for the Melbourne Cup besides Sir Delius? I know he's not really an international.
I don't know if I'm for the Melbourne Cup, but I'll go on for the Caulfield Cup if you want.
Yeah, go on.
There's that Maidan who ran third to Giovalotto and Kalpana and is
on the Syntho.
And was good there. Like, those are two 120 plus time form rated horses. Yep. Giovalotto won a Hong Kong Vase. Kalpana was favourite for the Arc. Stuck on well there. It's from the same connections as West Wind Blows. They've brought one over before, and he's only won one race from 11 starts. So he'd probably get in pretty well. And It looks like Buckaroo is going to be top weight this year, so it's not likely going to be a very strong Caulfield Cup this year. So if they bring it over, that's the one, I think.
Al Riffer will be top weight in the Melbourne Cup. He's short enough.
Is he even coming?
I think he is coming. They've bought him. I don't know if Scandinavia.
Caulfield Cup.
I don't know. They're just targeting just the Melbourne. Scandinavia, I don't know if he's coming. He's a decent horse. Trinity College has been bought by Yulong. He was a big winner at Royal Ascot.
Yeah, is he even going to race in any of them? Because he wasn't nominated.
He's still in Melbourne Cup. I think he got taken out of one. I don't know. There are less and less big internationals coming, so I'd be focusing your attention firstly on just trying to find the local hopes.
We'll just wait until the fields come out. Like, there's no need to bet now.
Yeah, unless you're backing something at like 50s, like your thing Maidan or whatever. But yeah. Richie G, Benny, will you shave your head when Kai Ying Rising gets beat in the Everest? No, I will not shave my head. But what I have said in the group chat during the week is that if Kai Ying Rising wins the Everest and Sir Delius wins the Melbourne Cup, I stand to win six figures and I will get the bet slip tattooed on myself.
Fair enough. I'll do the same thing.
Keep suing. J-Mac over and under 3.5 winners on Saturday.
Under.
Coop Serum, what's your biggest hot take going into the spring?
I don't have one.
My biggest hot take. Let me think of that after we do this last question, I should say. Dave Mayfield Smith, what was the reasoning behind Waller rushing his choice with Jolly Star over Lady Shenandoah in the Everest?
Probably just politics, mate.
Yeah, there's probably just different deals that are being cut behind closed doors and... Yeah, he takes Jolly Star. I wouldn't read into it at all. Lady Shenandoah will get into the Everest. You can mark my words. And if she wins the Manicato, J-Mac on board, and has J-Mac on board in the big one, she will start second favorite. I'm very confident of that. Hopefully she does come. All right, back to Coops Irwin's question. What's your biggest hot take going into the spring? After what I saw on the weekend, I'll say Lady Shenandoah is still a better horse than Autumn Glow. That'll be my hot take, and we'll prove it after this spring. I think most people would be on the other train of thought, thinking that Autumn Glow is still the better horse. Lady Shenandoah would have beaten Headwall by conservatively 1.5-2 lengths if she had got out at the 300, so... I think she's a proper beast, and I'm really, really scared of her beating Kalinga Rising if he's a length below his best, a length and a half even. All right, but let's wrap it up there. Any other thoughts?
Mm-hmm. No.
What's next week? Underwood. Bit of a stinky card, I think.
Probably.
Stinky card. Is that AFL Grand? No, AFL Grand Finals the week after now.
Mm.
That Friday night at the Value Bot, make sure you get there if you can. That's going to be a cracking meeting.
Yeah, I'll be working.
Sweet. It'll be awesome. Treasure of the Moment will be there, racing Mr. Brightside in a fan. We'll have Lady Shenandoah and the Manicato coming up against Barrackheel. Then you'll have the Stud Stakes, the Stock Stakes, Heat 1 of the 55-second challenge.
God.
You just...
Do they have a 3,000-meter race as well?
No, not on that night.
Well, I'm not interested then.
It'll be an absolute cracker. All right, punters, good luck, and we'll see you back here next week.